came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living one or the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Look over at verse 25, please. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither he went. And he made as though he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him not, and he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? They rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Verse 39, Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. Verse 44, And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Verse 52, And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. In this portion of the word of God, we have the Lord Jesus lifted up. Remember how he said, If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. We find the sinfulness of man, and through the past, it is very clear he speaks of their transgressions, their iniquities, and their sin, and you and I are guilty. For the Bible teaches there's none righteous, no, not one, and goes farther and speaks to them concerning of their transgressions, which means going over the boundary, knowing that which you should not do. Iniquity has to do with perversion, doing that which could be right in a wrong way. And then sin is missing the mark. That which God expects from you and from me. And yet, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as God looks down, he makes a way of salvation. It shows his love. You and I oft times think again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That which is written across this very text is, the Savior is risen. Why seek ye the living one among the dead? He speaks of himself this way in the book of Revelation. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. As he speaks, he tells them of his work. He tells them of his worth, and he tells them of his words. For a moment, you think of his worth. They sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But what does he mean to you? Today, the Lord Jesus is rejected. The Bible said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And thus, the world today passes him by. While John 1:12 said, As many as received him, to them gave he the privilege to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's a graduation in it. He speaks of the prophets. Then he speaks a little concerning the Moses and the prophets. Then he goes farther and said the law of Moses and the prophets, and then goes and links it with the Psalm. The Jews divided their Bible into three. It was the law of Moses, it was the prophets, and it was the Psalms. And he spoke of himself in all the scriptures, and back in Genesis 3:15, it speaks of the Christ of God. It tells that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the door of heaven and let us in. And think for a moment, it speaks in Genesis 3:15, and he said, it's the seed of the woman. It is contrary to nature, for as God looks down at mankind, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. There's one step between him and death, and God calls, and he wants them to come to him. It's interesting, as the Bible opens, the very first thing you're going to find is an invitation for salvation. For in the sixth chapter of Genesis, he speaks of the fall of man. And then he goes on in the next and gives that invitation. Come, thou and all thy house, into the ark, for they have I seen righteous in this generation. God again is calling. Again we think, come, see for children, O for middle age, and O for older people, middle age, and everybody. And see, you can come. Oh, you ought to come. M, you may come. E, you expect to come. See, come confidently. He never turned one away. Oh, come openly. You have served Satan openly, and I too. M, come manly, and E, come early, for none have ever come too soon. One day, you're going to hear, instead of come, the word depart. Depart from me, I never knew you. They had the words of the prophets. He spoke concerning himself. What did the prophet say? If you think of the prophet Zechariah, you think how he could say that he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. If you think of Isaiah the prophet, you could think once more that he was wounded for our transgressions. And the New Testament brings it out clearly that this is the Son of God, that this is the Messiah, that this is the Christ, for he alone can save. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He was prophesied, at last came forth. And there, looking back, they remembered his words. What else comes from the beginning of your Bible? It's the first time grace is found in the scriptures. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You've heard over and over that of which grace speaks. Before, he had covered mankind when he found himself naked, when he found himself sinful, and God provided the coats of skins. A little later, you find that God spoke, and when man had sinned, he made another way of escape. But now you come to a point where God, desiring to save, comes forth clearly, and in the fifth chapter, takes those Jewish names and writes out clearly, it is appointed unto mortal man sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring to the despairing rest or comfort, and that's the names of Seth on down to Noah. If you know not the Christ of God today, and there is no neutrality, you are lost. If you are saved, there's been a time when you came to know the Christ of God. If you are saved, there has been a total change in your life. He is your Lord. He is your Savior, and committed to him. It's have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I'm but the clay. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And thinking of the soul, it's a mind to think and a will to do and emotions to feel. And God changes all, and he does so through the law of the prophets. He does through Moses, and he does also through the Psalms. Think again. We think of the words of Christ. They came forth in the Psalms, miraculously hundreds of years before it transpired, already penned the very words he would say from the cross in Psalm 22. And in Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? I cry in the daytime, and thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I'm not silent, but thou art holy. And it's a holy God that must punish sin. It was not immorality and murder at the beginning. It was disobedience to God. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And there was a separation between God and man. In Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated you. They have come and put a difference and a distance between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face that he will not hear. Did you know there's but a breath between you and eternity? That very place, the junction at which you must meet God. And if you are not saved, it is not heaven, it is hell. And God speaks so clearly. And once more for you and for me to consider. And he spoke not concerning anything concerning nature. He didn't speak about the law, but he came right down and spoke of himself. You know, the law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Before the law, no man knew sin. But then the law came and it exposed sin. It is like light. I can recall during the Second World War, we're out looking for German submarines. Everything's dark and we're zigzagging to keep away from being sunk by them. And all of a sudden, a flare going up in the sky lit up the entire sea. And we were then exposed, and light will expose. If you want to see what God thinks of you, look at the Word of God. My father had two restaurants in Philadelphia a number of years ago. A man walked in with a Bible under his arm. He walked up and said, "That's a wonderful book you have under your arm." He says, "Yes, it is." He said, "I know its author." The man turned. He says, "You do?" "Yes, I met him Tuesday night at a Bible study." And he said to this man, who turned out to be the Supreme Court judge of Pennsylvania, "Do you want to see yourself as God sees you? He was saved on Tuesday, and now he's winning a soul to Christ on Friday." He said, "Do you want to see yourself as God sees you?" He says, "I do." He opened his book to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 exposes the sinful heart of man. He says, "But that's not all. Look," and he turned him over a couple of more chapters. "When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." "Oh," but he said, "that's not all. Look," and he turned him over to the 10th chapter, the 9th verse. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That judge accepted Christ as a Savior in the restaurant that day. My father and he were close friends right through life. You know, it'll bring you to the family of God. It'll bring you to himself. And that's why he spoke of himself. Because the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." First, they had the prophets. Then they had the words of Moses and the prophets. Then they had the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Did you ever see Christ throughout the Word of God? Christ in all the Scriptures? Remember when it came to the flood? It said, "Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Then you come to the New Testament, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Did you ever notice? It tells more about the grace of God. In Titus 2, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's teaching in the grace of God. There's salvation in the grace of God. And the grace of God came back in the day of Noah, when every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. It also speaks of that first invitation that was given by God, "Come thou." It was very personal, and God's salvation is very personal today. He wants you to come, and he reminds you, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." After this, he speaks of himself as the Lamb of God.
And the very first question when you find lamb, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And the answer came, God will be seen himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And right through the word of God, we have the Lamb of God portrayed. Until at last on the banks of that river, the words came, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. There's no man can take it away from you, no matter what religious affiliation you have. There is but one way to rid of your sins, for without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness, and my blood and yours, not pure. We need pure blood. How can you find it? Again, it's the person of Christ. That's why the virgin birth was essential. And that which even in our colleges and universities being torn apart, if it were not for the virgin birth of Christ, you and I would not be on our way to heaven. You could never be saved, because how can you get a clean thing out of an unclean? Job said, all have sin, and it traces back to the beginning. As in Adam, all die. Sin entered into the world by one man, and death by sin, and death hath passed upon all men, and you are dead to God. And that's why in your heart you turn from the word of God. You turn from the Lord himself. When once again he's calling, and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, you who are burdened with your sin. And he said, I will give you rest. God's salvation is a gift. While he speaks constantly through this portion of the resurrection, we think of 1 Thessalonians 4. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that makes it very simple. But that's to the convicted. Remember in chapter 1 of Thessalonians, they turn from idols to God. And until you turn, there's very little use of you learning a lot about theology. It won't do you a bit of good as far as salvation. We mentioned there are 9 church books in the Bible, and the first 4 all give you the cross. For if you don't know your sins forgiven, all of the knowledge of the Word of God will be useless as far as your salvation. The next 3, remember, while it's Christ and the cross, it's the church then. After you come to the cross, you can learn about the church. God will teach you. And then finally, he speaks about his coming. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The word of God is clear. It's all about the person of Christ. Within the pages of the book that's on your lap or in your hand is Christ. Are you going to close the book today and leave him there, or open the heart's door? Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. It's interesting as this story starts that it begins with women going to seek the Lord, and they're seeking him at the sepulcher at the grave. As they seek him, instead of finding the Savior, there are 2 angels. Those men speak, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek the living one? The Messiah, the Christ, among the dead. He is not here, he is risen. And when you see receive the Christ of God, you receive a person who will walk and talk with you. And the hymn writer said, each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. And we found it to be absolutely true. They have the words of the prophets. Isn't that what happened back in Luke 16? Though one rose from the dead, they won't believe. Because they have the words of Moses and the prophets, they have the Bible, and if you won't believe the Bible, there's no miracle that's ever going to open your eyes. Salvation is through faith. By grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They had Moses' writings, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all of them speaking of Christ. At the first, you have that story of the ark. You can come to Exodus, and you have the story of the Lamb of God. You can come to Leviticus, and you have your burnt offering. That's exactly what happened to Genesis 22. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of? I would love to have heard the Lord that day as he started to expound in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When he would tell about that door in the ark and take you up to John chapter 10, likely, and tell you, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He would bring them into Exodus and tell them all about the Lamb of God, how personal it was. Take a lamb, take the lamb, take your lamb. Back home, there was a family, and the man came and he was angry. He says, somebody has told my wife there has to be a personal acceptance of Christ or she'll never be saved. And I won't let her go back to hear anything like that again. Take a lamb, take the lamb. That was fine with that man. But when it came to take your lamb to have a personal salvation, he wanted no part of it. He wanted nothing to do with it in his entire family, which meant they could not be saved. If that startles you, think of the scripture, because your opinion's as good as mine. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. The Lord makes it clear, you are dead in trespasses and in sins, and what can a dead man do? Nothing. And you can do nothing as far as working for your salvation. Or you can put a Bible under your arm and go door to door and do all the works of some of the religious cults that you have. It'll mean absolutely nothing when it comes to getting to heaven. You can join the choir and the church and everything you can do. That's works. You can be baptized. That's works. And so the Lord makes it clear there's one way of salvation. And he spoke concerning himself. What was that? You remember singing that hymn, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Do you know they sang on the way to the cross? I would love to have heard that too. Just imagine, the Savior's going to die, and there he is, the song leader according to Hebrews. He's going to lead it in a future day. And you and I, if redeemed by precious blood, we're going to be in the choir. We're going to sing unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. But after he had finished with the prophets, after he had finished and telling them that even Jonah told them there was a resurrection, that when it came to Genesis 22, it wasn't simply taking the son and offering there for a burnt offering on the mountain, but that son would live again. I and the lad will go yonder and come again and worship. He spoke of the coming again. Just before the end of it, he spoke. Bethuel had a daughter by the name of Rebekah. He spoke of a bride, and that he could unfold as speaking of the bride of Christ. Every person saved by God's grace one day is going to be with the bridegroom, going to see his face, and that's when they'll sing that eternal song. After, again, teaching from his own words, he came to the book of Psalms. It was the closing portion of his message. What was the object? That there would be repentance, that there would be reception of him, that there would be forgiveness of sins. And so the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was that you and I might be saved. How could we be saved? 1 Corinthians 15 hits it. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What were his sayings? Read the Bible. He expounded unto them himself in all the scriptures. Perfect harmony with his Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How can you get to heaven? By the removal of your sins. How can you get rid of your sins? Only one way. Through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches are full today. Deception reigns today. But just plain Bible is all you and I need, because that Bible will point to a person. It is the Savior himself who calls them from all of the religious activities. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Then once more you ask a question. Is Jesus God? Listen to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 3:16. And it tells us that Christ, the Lord himself, was manifest in flesh, that he appeared in flesh. You can go back and you can read still how he is talking in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. By interpretation, God with us. And so the Savior appeared in the flesh. He was made like unto man, but sin apart. For I couldn't die for you, for I have sinned. You couldn't be my Savior, you have sinned. And that's why the only Savior had to come from outside of this earth. God sent him and he said, a body hast thou prepared me. And he went to Calvary, nothing turning him from saving you and saving me. Even knowing the penalty, the wages of sin is death, he must die. Peter speaks of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What is the sufferings? From head to foot, the crown of thorns upon his brow. They pierced his hands and his feet, Psalm 22:16. They spit in his face. It is said the praetorium, those soldiers, 600, and it is figured by writers that approximately 200 would have spit in his face. They reached up and plucked the very hairs from his cheeks. Isaiah 50:6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hairs. And the word pluck means to sharpen, to make bald. That was the sufferings of Christ of which he spoke. And he told them all that he passed through. Now the work of redemption was past. Now the Savior lives. Where did you find him? He had already told them, Father, forgive them. And you know the Father answers prayer. And all who will come to him at this hour can be saved. But he says, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How did you know they were saved? They were continually in the temple, praising God, continually in the temple. And there they were filled with great joy. And that's what God leaves with every believer in Christ. The burden that was upon my heart is gone. The joy of Christ has come in. Now I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And I'm only free because he gave himself for me. Would you trust him today? Could you say like Charlotte Elliott, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Remember how it was progressive? He started very simply. It was the prophets. He didn't show them his hands and his feet at the beginning. It was his word that he spoke. Then when it went from the prophets, it was to Moses and the prophets. And then he went farther and he said, the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And the Psalms tell you of a risen Christ. Psalm 16, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. There's a living Savior today. It is he who is knocking at your heart's door. It is he who wants to come in. Open the door. The latch is on the inside. Revelation 3:20 again as I close. The Savior speaks. He's risen. He lives. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The Lord bless his word. If you don't know him today, you're missing everything. Trust him. And go on your way rejoicing. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for thy love to us, that God did love the world and give his Son, and that the Savior cried, it is finished, when the punishment was passed, which we deserved, when the dark scene was over. And we thank thee that the cross is empty, and that the tomb is empty, and at thy right hand is a Savior who bears the marks of our sins. We thank thee, Isaiah reminded us he was wounded of our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And as we think of the solemnity of boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And while you're standing at a heart's door today, grant they may not pass you by, that they might open the door, receive you into their life, and on the authority of thy word, as many as received him, to them gave he the privilege to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Bless thy word for his glory alone, as we give thanks in his precious name. Amen.